You're listening to After Credits, a podcast started by aspiring Asian filmmakers to bring some diversity into contemporary film criticism. We want to bring a different and authentic voice to the table when discussing works made by Asian filmmakers, and today's film that we are discussing is Parasite, written and directed by Bong Joon-ho. Okay, so today we have Sia, Sophie, Sue, and Long to discuss this movie. So in case any of you guys have been living under a rock the past 2 years, Parasite is a great movie written and directed by Bong Joon-ho, who also happened to make Snowpiercer and Okja, which are also very well-known movies. Parasite was the first Korean movie to win at the Cannes Film Festival and also won an Academy Award for Best Picture, which is pretty historical. So this movie revolves around the Kim family, who lives in extreme poverty, and the Park family, who lives in extreme wealth. And throughout the movie, members of the Kim family become hired by the Park family, and slowly they make their way into the Park family's house, where they meet various complications and obstacles. It's a great social commentary on class discrimination and the wealth gap in general. And yeah, I feel like we have a lot to discuss today. So to start this discussion off, what did you guys think about this movie? What were your general takeaways?
I think what the movie does really well is that the plot is so tight, and the way the story just like escalates and it builds on like every single like twist, it's so incredible. And it's so some twists are kind of expected, you know, like the family coming back, you know, right when like shit hits the fan, the family like comes back from camping, it's like, well, duh, of course they would come back. But the execution is so incredible, and just the entire story, and of course like the social commentary, because I don't think that Parasite is just like a thriller and that's that. I think that, you know, it makes a valuable commentary about like class and wealth and things like that. And I think the casting was really perfect. I felt like the chemistry between all of the actors, like, it was so good. The editing was superb. The soundtrack, I literally cannot think of a single thing in the movie that was like less than perfect. It was just like this perfect like symphony of like every filmmaking element just like being like awesome.
Yeah, to echo with like what Krupa said, I was captivated by like the story for the first half, and I thought that was it. And then they suddenly gave me such a big twist, and I was like getting to like the second phase, and I thought that was it. And then there come like a final twist. So I was like riding a roller coaster the entire time. And that just reminds me of the initial pleasure of watching movies to be like entertained. I think that's like especially valuable when you watch a lot of like art cinema. I think this movie succeeded in like combining both the mirrors of commercial film and art film. It's like funny and engaging, but at the same time, it has depth. Another thing that I really appreciate is how universal it is in terms of like making a comedy. One thing that I experienced as like a transnational, it's really hard to translate humor into another culture. Sometimes when I am watching American movies in Asia, I know that some of the jokes will be lost and they just can't get it. And the same thing applies to like Asian films when they come to Western cultures. It's hard for people to get the joke or get all the hints and details referenced. But I think this film did a perfect job in that, so everyone could get how funny it is. I watched its American premiere in Telluride. The audience actually is mostly white. It's just like how American film industry is, because it's more like an industry screening. But like everyone was having fun the entire time. And at the end of the movie, everyone just stand up and cheers and like claps. Yeah, love the atmosphere. I think the film did a really good job in that aspect.
I think as Sia talked about, you know, like the emotional wave of the film, like, you know, it's like rising and falling, and, you know, that energy that this film sustains from like the first minute till the last, it's just absolutely phenomenal. And I think that a key, you know, ingredient in this like recipe of like this masterpiece. I think it's just like the stakes being like so high, because you know, you start and then it's like, okay, like one of the Kims is, you know, like he pretends to be a tutor, and then the stakes are like, all right, and then the stakes just like escalate, like, you know, they like snowball so intensely and so fast that the audience is just like, what? And there are like major plot twists like happening, and just the, yeah, just the entire arc is so strong. And I feel like the movie just never loses momentum. It just like keeps escalating, and it's so incredible.
Yeah, so I think the first 90 minutes, I think the film is slightly longer than 2 hours, right? I think the first 90 minutes or the first half of the film is literally perfect. And I think it's a masterclass in terms of like building momentum and like creating the stakes for the characters and for the story, and like just like it's as exciting and brilliant as like a contemporary film can be. And I really think that it's gonna be very hard for the director himself to like top what he managed to pull off in the first half of the film. I do have a little bit of hesitancy when it comes to the last few minutes of the film. I think the ending slightly bothered me a little bit, because I don't know, I feel like it seems a little bit expository to me in a sense, like when the son of the Kim family, of the less wealthy family, reads the letter, I feel like that's when it kind of contradicts the tonality of the first half of the film, where we see a lot of action and it's kind of unpredictable, and you know, it like the action kind of like tells the story itself rather than like one character like reading the letter, like explaining what's going on. So for me, like that's the tiny detail that I was a little bit like not so happy about for this film. But then overall, I think it's a really great film. I love it a lot. And it's just amazing to see like the kind of excitement that it inspires among people. I mean, like at Dartmouth, for example, where I went to college, there were like screenings after screenings, and the theater at my school at Dartmouth had to like add additional screenings, like literally 5 times in a row, I think, because the demand was so much. And I was very happy to see like a film, any kind of film, but in particular like a foreign language film, to inspire that kind of excitement and demand from like American audiences.
Yeah, and just to add on that, the same thing happened at Telluride. It's like so rare for a foreign film, because the festival is like mostly American film, like Oscar, but like Parasite was like so popular in the festival last year that it just, the demand was so high, they added more screenings, even though the festival is only 3 days.
I actually agree with Long. As much as I think this movie's just perfect, the last like 10 minutes definitely felt as if it like dragged on. And yeah, because like after the climax at the party, I totally forgot about the ending, because it had been a while since I watched it. And I checked like the time, I was like, and it was like 12 minutes remaining. And I was like, what story do you possibly have remaining? And I do understand that they did need like some like form of closure, but the ending actually reminded me a lot of like Shoplifters, which also has, you know, like this like really intense like climax, and then a pretty long, you know, like after climax, just like resolution. And yeah, I do agree that it shifted the tone of the film, and in a way that lost momentum. But I also don't know how they would be able to maintain it after such a, you know, like shift in the plot. I just don't think it's like, it's possible to have that kind of like super fast paced, you know, like comedic, like rhythm, like post-climax. That being said, I still think that it could have been trimmed down quite a bit. And I felt the same way about Shoplifters, actually, that the ending just like felt as if it like dragged on a bit. So that's just a parallel that I noticed.
Yeah, I do agree. The ending, especially the letter reading part, it definitely did shift the tone, but I honestly thought it was like a good ending, because the whole movie was so intense and like very powerful, right? Especially at the party. When I watched it in the theaters, everyone was like, like, whoa, like, oh my God. And then I feel like if the movie had ended right there, it would have, you know, people would have been so like shocked from like everything they'd seen. Like, I feel like if it had ended there, like the strongest getaway, immediate getaway for viewers would have been like shock. Whereas I think even though the tone shifted a bit, like the letter reading part, it kind of gave room for the viewers to like kind of wind down from everything that had happened and like kind of guided viewers towards like thinking about the more like social commentary part of this movie. So I don't know. I honestly thought like, I kind of liked the letter reading.
Yeah, I also agree with what Ileana has said, because I feel like if it ended at, you know, like the climax, the takeaway I would have just be the conflicts between this two class and like the tragedy and whatever. Like there's no solution, but like I like the ending part of reading the letter, because the film showed you his dream of how he could make it up there to the other class and save his dad. And then it ended up to just be his imagination. That kind of showed how hard it is to close the gap between these two class. For me, that made me to like reflect more. It is a little bit long, but it's not boring. I made it through. I think I still like enjoyed it.
I'd say what kind of threw me off was probably like the breaks in the fantasy, if only just because like, I love how the movie fucks genre conventions up. I know the first, sorry, I don't know if you can swear in this. I know the first time that I watched this film, I didn't have any warning at all. My friend just said, I love this movie, watch it. They didn't tell me what it was about. They didn't tell me like what genre it was. So I was over here wondering whether it was a drama, whether it was a romantic comedy at some parts, or like really, I just thought, oh, it's a horror movie once they got into the cellar. But for me, the breaks in the fantasy, like when they broke the fourth wall and suddenly like you saw the son directing the father and how to act like to best fake their way into the family and like ease their way into the Park family life. Or the moments where it was like questionably like almost supernatural, the Morse code bits, or just moments like that.
Going back to like, what is it about this movie that makes it so spectacular? I think that I feel like there are so many iconic scenes that are just like unforgettable, and I feel like you know, that's what the audience remembers, you know, once they've like walked out, and like how those like really shocking scenes made them feel. And one that I can think of like the top of my head is when the sister is like sitting on the toilet that is like flooding, and she like starts like smoking a cigarette. Like, wow. Like, I don't think I've ever seen anything like as unexpected and as like visually shocking or iconic as that. And like, I feel like that scene alone just like makes this movie historical. And another less shocking, but it's like, it's when the mother, like she climbs up the stairs and it's like this really smooth, like she like escalates like through the stairs, and she's like shocked as she realizes like the housekeeper has like tuberculosis and stuff. But just, I think just the cinematic imagination is so compelling. It's not just, you know, a powerful story, you know, that could have been like a novel or whatever, like it's not like that could have like stayed on a screenplay or something, but I feel like the active just like cinematic imagination is just very, very powerful. And even if the story were like crap, I think that the filmmakers, just like everybody involved and like the crew and production, are so skilled at what they do that I think it would have probably ended up being like a really decent production anyway. But yeah, every element was just like in like really awesome like synchrony.
Yeah, so I have a question about like how accurate it is in depicting the rich and the poor in Korea, because I'm not from Korea, so I can't really speak to that. This is a really popular topic recently. Yeah, I'm just wondering like how accurate it is. There's like one line in the film that surprised me a lot. I think it was like when the mom from the Kim's family said, oh, the Park's family, it's so nice because they are rich, not that they're rich because they're nice. That's a really interesting line. Does richness and niceness like sort of connected? I don't really see that in my personal experience so far. But thinking about it, it could make sense just because like they went through like class hostility and maybe like difficulties in life. They could become naive like the mom from the Parks family, but I don't know. That's my my thought.
So yeah. Okay, that just touched like several good points. But regarding the wealth gap, I didn't know it was that bad either. But this spring, I actually took a course and had to present on the Korean economy. And I learned a new thing about my own country, too. So apparently, yeah, the wealth gap is really bad here. And it's getting worse and worse every year, especially because like the top, I don't know, I heard that it's really bad in China, too. But like, I think Korea is definitely similar, if not like getting there. Yeah, which is why I think this kind of topic keeps on coming up in like media and stuff. Yeah, the idea, like I know what you're talking about, that line about like richness and niceness. I feel like in America, people do think like being rich equals like being kind of, you know, like, I don't know, like snobby and like rude and stuff. But actually in Korea, it is kind of generally believed that like if you're rich, you're gonna be nicer because you have less worries and like less problems and like less complexes. I don't know if that's the right word, but yeah, so it's kind of like a very interesting phenomenon, I think, because it's like the rich people are so privileged, but they're so nice because they haven't really had to struggle that much. And then yeah, so the wealthy is very glorified in Korea, which I think is very interesting. Also, going back to what Kripa said about the scene where the Kim's family's daughter is like smoking with like the flood going on all around her, I think, yeah, that scene was really powerful too. The way that she was just sitting there and like smoking and just being like, oh my god, like I don't know, like there's nothing I can do, and just sitting there, I think it just really emphasized how like the wealth gap is like very, it's so significant, and that like it's really hard to overcome as well.
Yeah, and even as the film said, right, like even their smell, like the smell of the underground. I don't know, that also like when they described that smell, I sort of like thought about the New York subway. And also, I feel like New York is like the equivalent of Seoul in the States, right? Like you have like the super rich and the super poor living in the same city together.
I read that like Parasite is a kind of like a satire on the culture of networking and recruitment as well. And if you think about it, then the first half of the film is literally like a big satire of like how one could like get jobs through like networking, and how like we tend to give networking like so much weight and significance, and basically like do everything that we could to like gain new connections and like get a job. So I think that's also like something to think about. And it also has that quest for like upward mobility that Parasite touches upon, and somehow also could also be seen in Uncut Gems.
Basically, yeah, I took this movie to be talking about like how ultimately it's impossible to like change your status. And also, you know, that other, have you guys watched the other movie by Bong Joon-ho, like Snowpiercer? No.
Yes, I watched like, I think I watched a lot of his film, which I don't know, his film was kind of creepy, but like pretty good. Snowpiercer, I think, talked about the same thing.
Going on a tangent, Snowpiercer is like basically also the same social commentary, but like basically the whole, it's like dystopian, and like the whole population or like the remaining population, they're on a train, and the train just goes around and around the world. And so like, you know how trains have like different cars? Basically the idea is that like the front cars are for like the super privileged, and they have like really nice meals and stuff. And like the further back you go on the train, the more people are like different, like they're struggling, and like they don't have food to like to feed themselves. They eat bugs, and like basically like there's like a very drastic wealth difference. And like that's, yeah, so it's basically the same commentary. But like what happens in that movie is that like the people from the back half of the train, they like revolt, and like they make their way like to the front of the train, and like basically like there's this whole uprising. But like compared to that movie, I feel like this movie is more talking about like how it's impossible to like, you know, change up your status or like, you know, like uprise against this whole like established structure of society that like, I don't know, even though it's by the same person, I just started to wonder like why all of a sudden like he decided to highlight this different idea.
I think like that film was like a more literal discussion of the difference between the two classes, and that has like a more optimistic ending of like how it could be overcome. But I don't know, maybe it's because, as you said earlier about how the wealth gap is becoming wider and wider in Korea, maybe the director becomes like more desperate and realize that it's not really possible. I feel like it's not really possible throughout human history, unless there's a revolution. The wealth gap is just gonna become bigger and bigger and bigger. There's like almost like no case that I can think of like in human history, any culture, someone overcome wealth gap, like as a society in general, without a revolution. Yeah. And also like tangent, there is a new film coming out, not by them. I think it's called New Order. It's from, I think, a Mexican director. It's also about the conflicts between various classes. And I heard it's like very intense, very good. I think it's like showing in Toronto Film Festival, International Film Festival right now.
That brings me to another question. What do you think of the title Parasite? Because it could, I mean, you know, there are three possible like candidates, right? Like the first is obviously the Kims. The second is obviously the Parks. And the third is, you know, like the former housekeeper and her husband. And I mean, it could refer to all three, but like, yeah. What do you think about that title? And I think the reason I brought this question up is because that like antagonism between the former housekeeper and the Kims is what I did not expect. And it really seemed like once they like secured this safety for themselves, they're not willing to compromise it at any costs. And so it's kind of like, not parasitic, but like, I don't like to use the term like animalistic or whatever, but it was just like unexpected, like that they wouldn't be kind, you know, from like the get-go. And it felt more like survival mode. So yeah, that's what I was thinking about, like the title, like Parasite, and the kind of like sentiments that title evokes.
Yeah, I just took the literal interpretation of how that two family was, you know, living under the rich family as a parasite. I feel that's like a pretty bad interpretation. Like, who's the parasite of the society? I don't know. That was like the most literal, but most straightforward interpretation for me.
I genuinely think that if, you know, the former housekeeper got away with having her husband in the bunker for like 4 years, and if the former housekeeper hadn't come back, the Kims would have probably succeeded, because they already had, until, you know, like the housekeeper came back. And I feel like the Parks, you know, like whatever harm they inflicted on the Parks was negligible until like the second half. So I think that's why I lean more toward like Parasite inferring the Parks. Although again, you know, like the Parks don't really do anything like evil or whatever, and they're just benefiting from like capitalism and whatnot. But
I think like one thing that I noticed is like the idolization of America in this Korea movie specifically, like how they're saying, oh, this thing is like brought from the US, so it's like best quality, or like at some places they intentionally would like speak English as if it's like more, you know, high class or something.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to note the critique about, like, I think it's not just in Korea, but I think in many other Asian countries, the overvalorization of Western culture, and especially the US. I also feel like the film did a good job of like parodizing the way that a lot of people in Asia kind of internalized, like mimic the racism in the West. So the whole like appropriation of Native American culture in the film, I think it's not a very pronounced thing in the film, but it's definitely kind of a motif from the beginning until the end. we see that first of all, the younger son in the Park family, and then later on the Park family like asks the father of the Kim family to basically also dress up as like a Native American. So I think that's also something to think about. And from my personal experience, I can definitely say that I know people in my country, for example, who are ignorant and insensitive about race in general. And just to add to your point about the trouble when it comes to, you know, like buying too much or like valuing too much Western culture and what can go wrong with that kind of attitude.
Yeah, I definitely noticed the same thing of like how racism was translated and even like escalated in Asia. I think like in China specifically, there's like this hostility towards like the Black, and which is like especially, you know, magnified during COVID, of like how they separated foreigners, like only the Black, not the white, in the Guangzhou, which is like a province there during COVID. Like they locked them in, I don't know, like a small neighborhood and don't let them out. And it's kind of like the lockdown area. I don't know. That's just like some prehistorical racist things that I just find so problematic. And like the other thing about cultural appropriations, I think it was just this week, I saw somebody reposted a music video from like a Korean girl band of this like, this whole music video of like, is this, it's how this really pretty Korean pop star like dressed in Indian costumes and makeups, and like the whole video is like she trying to appropriate the symbols and like native culture. And I was just like, what's going on? And apparently like it's like super glorified and fans are like loving it, even though there are like some people are like, no, stop, but you know.
Yeah, so Western culture, especially America, definitely is glorified, I think, which shows in this movie as well. Also about the part where the Kim family dresses up in like the headpiece and everything. I'm not really sure what the intention of that was, like if that was supposed to mean something or if that was just like basically a play for like the son to do. Because I know that like cultural appropriation and like awareness of that isn't as big here as it is in the States, I don't know if that was like intentional and if that was meaningful or if that was like a mistake on the filmmaker's part. So I don't know how to comment on that, but yeah, like going back like this on a tangent to the cultural appropriation. Yeah, I did also see that music video and oh my God, it was so problematic. They basically took everything that's like, you know, important or like symbolic to Native American and like Native culture. I think they were trying to go for like the quote unquote exotic feel, but like it just I think definitely this whole situation and like especially like everything that came out of COVID, people are talking a lot more about race and like people are starting to speak up a little more about like the problematic things that like that weren't, you know, commented on before. But also I think it takes a very long time. It will take a very long time for everything to get sorted out in Asia and like in Korea specifically, because there's a Black celebrity in Korea. He's like one of the very few and he's like very popular, right? And he's like very successful here. And like, he comes out in a lot of like talk shows, TV shows and whatever. And like, so people here aren't really that aware about blackface and like why it's problematic. And like, some students did it as a joke and he spoke out against it, right? He was like, okay, this is very ignorant behavior, blah, blah, blah. And then the backlash from the entire Korean community was so intense. They were like, oh my God, they're just kids. Like they're just, you know, playing around. Like, why is this problematic? He actually apologized for pointing out blackface and how it's problematic. He literally had to apologize. Like, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't mean this to be any insult. And I was just reading this whole situation and like all the articles that covered this. And I was like, yeah. So I just think, especially like when things like these are like starting to surface and like become talked about, like I think media has to be very careful in how it portrays these kind of like cultural appropriation and like cultural kind of racial issues. And I really don't know what the dressing up as like Native American people in Parasite was supposed to be, or like what it was supposed to mean, or if it literally was just like kind of an ignorant mistake. Yeah, that's just my thought.
My two cents on cultural appropriation, and I feel like cultural appropriation is, it requires a culture to like exploit another culture. And I feel like, you know, because of like colonization and like all of that, there, you know, it's obviously like super problematic when like white people appropriate, especially, you know, like Native American like culture and heritage like in America. I feel like America's history in particular is so different from the rest of the world, and cultural appropriation is not really that big of a conversation in Nepal, which was like never colonized. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that if like two cultures don't really have that relationship where one like explicitly exploited the other, I feel like it's understandable why that population would not be very aware, you know, that it's like problematic, or that it is even, you know, like problematic. Like in Parasite, I just thought that the Native American, you know, all of that, it was just, I took it to be like meaningless. Although maybe it's not, because of, you know, like juxtaposing that with like the glorification of the US. So maybe it's not.
I don't think, if even though this country has not colonized the other country, I don't think they're innocent in doing that. I think the whole world right now is very globalized, right? A lot of information and like cultural contents are passed on. A lot of the ideas, as long as I said before, they're like subtle racism. Those are like the things you got from like watching American movies and things like that. Like, I feel like this hostility towards the Black was like passed on from Western culture to Asian culture through like some of their movies, of like how, you know, earlier movies when they have the Black to represent the poor, or like the ones that attack this like quote innocent white family, or, you know, white kids. Those are like the violence and things are like portrayed in those like movies and like cultural contents that's exported towards the Asian countries, even though they're also victim of like colonization. It's almost like a parallel of like how we had earlier discussion of like the Kim family and like the family that lives in the basement. They're all victims, but they attack each other. I think that's like just this whole parallel of like how our discussion like in the US about how one minority is not like empathetic of the other minority, and this internal conflicts within the minority group. Yeah, but I don't think like they're innocent in terms of like appropriating the other culture, because like the way they use it is, the Native culture is exotic, it's primitive, right? Like in the movies, because like that's like primitive, the kids was like, you know, he's like hysterical almost, he has this like mental illness, like he's like doing some like basic actions that's related to like Native culture. Going back to what Ileana said, yeah, I also like don't know why they have to use Native culture in the movie. I don't know how to make of it. I also, like, I have to admit, I didn't realize that's a huge cultural appropriation until like Long brought it up, and that made me just like reflect more on that.
Also, correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't the Kim family's dad, like, doesn't he end up killing the Park family's dad when he's wearing the headdress, right? I just think like that's too much of a big action and like too much of a big point at this movie to be doing that while wearing a head, like, I just think like if the headdress and like, you know, dressing up as Native Americans was supposed to be just meaningful play, it's still very problematic that, like, first of all, that like dressing up as someone else's culture was considered as play, and like second of all, that like this like very important part of this like movie and like this very significant action was done while wearing this like the headdress of another culture. I just think, even if it was supposed to be meaningless, I think it could be kind of problematic. Like, I think it is problematic. And yeah, like Sia said, I just think, even though, like, you know, a lot of countries in Asia, like not all, but like even though like Korea and like, you know, these kind of countries weren't colonized by America, I think we still should be aware of these kind of like, you know, cultural appropriations and stuff, because everything is intertwined. And like, ultimately, we got a lot of influence from American and Western cultures. So secondhand racism and everything.
If I remember correctly, then the plot was that like he was supposed to dress up as a Native American. And then the part, like the whole idea there was like he was being this like the playing the trope of like the savage and like attacking like the wife or like the mother, and then the kid would like basically like the kid would get to like save like becomes a hero by fighting him off as like the savage attacker. So I think that's what like the whole thing was about. And in my opinion, I just feel like the critique there that the film could potentially, and I'm saying potentially because again, like we can never be sure if like it's just like a random detail or like there was some intention there. But I think potentially we could say that like there is this fascination with like American culture, but then in that kind of fascination, then who do like Asian people identify with? And in this sense, we could say that like in general, like people or at least the characters in the film tend to identify with like whiteness, like American values are good, are like something to hold on to if it has something to do with whiteness. And then because of that identification with like whiteness, then there's all this kind of like tropes and stereotyping, resorting to tropes and all this like stereotyping of like other cultures, including Black culture, or in this case, like Native American culture, and like all this idea of like very reductive idea of like, oh, like Native American people are like savage or like exotic or like, you know, outdoor, like barbaric culture, you know, going camping outdoors and then like all this like violence. But yeah, just my two cents.
I think just like in general, ignorance is not an excuse for rawness. And I think for an internationally renowned director like Bong Joon-ho, right? When he is making the film for international audience, I think he should be more aware of what his works could carry. I mean, I'm sure like he has interacted a lot with Western cultures too, because he's really famous. He had a lot of films that went on international film festivals before. So I'm sure he's like not completely ignorant of like the cultural dynamics that's happening right here. So yeah, this might be like too on the edge of like political correctness, but like I personally think, you know, like as filmmakers, you're forming a culture. As we just said earlier about like the whole media thing, you're like, you have the responsibility, especially if you're like that famous, that established, you have the responsibility like to set a line. And I love how like in the beginning when we're talking about the film, it's like, oh, this film is like perfect. I love everything. And then the more we read into it, I was like,
But I think that after Long pointed out, you know, that about the narrative that went with like the play, you know, about like the attack and like all of that, it feels too meaningful to to be like meaningless. I'd kind of like forgotten about that narrative because I got like caught up in like the excitement of like what's coming, like the thrill and everything. But and especially when you when someone, I don't remember who, like brought up the fact that, you know, when the dad finally like murders the park dad, he's like wearing the headdress. And I think that that could very well be a commentary on like on, you know, what's like happening in like America right now. I just can't recall if like when he does like kill, because they're both wearing it, it's not just, you know, that like the Kim dad is like wearing it and the Park dad is not, they're both wearing it. So I kind of want to like rewatch it like a little bit more carefully, because now that we're talking about like the narrative and how, you know, like the ultimate climax, you know, like the murder scene and all that, I feel like it just can't be meaningless. And I think that there's probably a critique that I feel like it's probably less a mistake and more a commentary that I kind of like failed to grasp.
And just to bring it full circle, for the definition of the parasite, when it, at least when it came to the idea of the mosquito causing harm simply by its existence, bringing back full circle with everything we discussed today, the parks, like whether naive or not, simply by their existence in exploiting other people's cultures, in exploiting the people who were working for them in their labor, and like furthering a system that forced them to turn on each other just to survive, like by them furthering a system that just kind of worsens everything. I guess I'd have to say that the parks, by their existence, are the parasites. And that is all.
Great discussion today, everyone.
Season finale.
Especially, we did it.